Amen. Please be seated. Tony's coming forward to read the scripture. As we were receiving our offering, I realized we never lit the candles. And it's beautiful unlit, but I think it'll be more beautiful lit. So I'm going to light the candles before you read, Tony. We're missing David Coy and Barb Fry and people like that who notice these things.
Debbie really wants acolyte as part of her resume.
Uh-oh, she needs fire. Scripture this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. I am the true vine, and my God is the vine grower. God removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, God prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My God is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As God loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my God's commandments and abide in God's love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Amen.
So first, a little bit about Mother's Day. Their Mother's Day precedents in different cultures and histories, but here in the U.S., you may or may not know that there really wasn't anything like Mother's Day. Julia Ward Howe, in 1870, called for a Mother's Day, but her focus was on calling mothers together to work for peace. She made a proclamation in which one of her lines is, "We do not want our men coming home to us for sweet caresses smelling of carnage," or something like that. It's a powerful call for peace. And the aftermath of the Civil War here in the United States and the Franco-Prussian War in Europe. But sadly, it did not take hold. It did not get popular. It was another woman, Anna Jarvis, in about 1908, whose mother had been saying there should be a day to honor mothers, and then after she died, Anna Jarvis held the first service ever for a Mother's Day, and it caught on. Anna Jarvis wanted it to be a prayerful day, a day of reflecting on love and kindness, holding up the best of motherhood and parenting and all kinds. And she quickly became distressed by the ways it got commercialized. And within a few years was writing people trying to call it off. She did not succeed, as we know. And the sort of interesting irony, she didn't have children. At the end of her life, she was not well, staying in a sanatorium. And florist and card shop sort of people helped pay for her care. Because they recognized how much she'd helped them out, even though she didn't want to. It's an interesting story. But Mother's Day certainly was here to stay. The flowers, the cards, the family gatherings, the phone calls. And I think we know Mother's Day, like other family-related holidays that idealize family relationships, can be wonderful and painful. All of the above. It's a day to remember mothers with love and gratitude, living and dead, as Rolf and Christopher just did with especially one of their songs. It's also the day to remember mothers who grieve, children they have lost, and women who have wished to be mothers and not been able to. As well as any people, any of us, who have difficult, painful relationships with mothers. So it's a complicated holiday. But within a church community, a church family like ours, I believe it's a day we can celebrate because it's a day to celebrate all that is motherly in the best sense of the word, nurturing, caring, all that is feminine in ourselves and in God. Just as on Father's Day, we can do the same with the masculine. As I've mentioned, the women's retreat, which has gone on for many years, ended up on this weekend. So over 20 of our members at Light on the Hill, 25 women and one gay man, having a wonderful time. And having that many of them away is kind of an interesting way to notice how much they matter to us, isn't it? So if that's kind of a mother's, you know, kind of recognizing an absentia, as it would be. Those of us who were out there, Amanda, Sue, me, Lisa, for part of the time, it's been a good weekend. They're having a great time. I'm sure they're finishing up with a great time. The theme this year was Simply Be, building on the theme of our Lenten study about simplicity, I think. There was a lot of good fun, lots of good food. A little learning, perhaps, but more just time sharing and being together in a beautiful, sacred place, as Tony said, at a beautiful, beautiful time of year. It's a very powerful tradition, our women's retreat. I was reflecting especially on yesterday afternoon. We gathered together outside, and Barb Fry and Edie Regan gave some leadership, reflecting on some words from Mary Oliver. So I think I'll give you Mary Oliver's instructions for living life that they shared, and then I'll read the poem that they also shared. But here are the instructions for living life from Mary Oliver. The first one is pay attention. Some people have called her the patron saint of paying attention. The second is be astonished. And the third is tell about it. We did that as a group yesterday afternoon, spending some time, each of us individually, and then to pay attention and be astonished, and then coming back to share. The poem they shared is one of Mary Oliver's many, many poems where she paid attention to something particular. It's called The Summer Day. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean, the one who has flung herself out of the grass and is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Mary Oliver. Pay attention. Be astonished. Tell about it. As I drove home yesterday evening, wondering what I was going to say today, I was reflecting on that and then turned to reflect on the scripture that Tony just read. Because I think that is part of what Jesus did, was he paid close attention to life, to the world around us. And he used everyday things as ways of telling us about the larger spiritual life that we cannot see and hear and touch. We know the parables. They're much more in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John's gospel, which can be more theological and I think also very much more mystical, we don't exactly find parables, but we definitely find images, metaphors that Jesus uses to invite us into understandings. And today's metaphor is so clear and so powerful: the vine and the branches. The branches that have no life without the vine. Think about it. It's happening right now all around us, right? Things are growing up. Those leaves, those little branches going off, all you got to do is cut it at the root, right? At the bottom, at the base, and the plant dies. Jesus says, I am the vine. I'm the connection. I am the connection to the ground and source of our being, our Creator, and I'm the connection to bringing life and nutrients, water to you, and connecting us to each other, right? Without me, he says, you can do nothing. But in him, through connection with him, we live and move and have our being. It's about abiding, I love that word, indwelling, interconnecting, living together. Abide in me as I abide in you. It's about reciprocity, giving and receiving. And I love, Adrian, how you pulled out the part about pruning in your prayer, because I was going to kind of gloss over that part. But pruning is part of living as a part of the vine too, isn't it? Can we embrace whatever's happening in our lives when it seems hard and difficult as pruning? And trust that the vine hasn't let us go? Can we do that? That's part of the challenge. It's a metaphor, a beautiful metaphor, about that I think in interesting ways connects even to the Mother's Day theme. Because parenting, perhaps especially mothering, at its core, shows us that we cannot make ourselves, cannot birth ourselves, cannot, you know, it's all from the beginning. We are dependent on others, and that never truly ends. So Mahan Seiler is 88 years old. He is a beloved American Baptist pastor in North Carolina who has mentored many, many, many of us. On April 27th, he was at the Alliance of Baptist Gathering in Atlanta, and he fell on some stairs and tore tendons in both knees. He said, it didn't hurt so long as I didn't try to do anything with them. So he had to, you know, get transported home, have surgery on both knees. He can't bend either knee at all for like 6 or 8 weeks till it heals, and then he's, you know, working on rehab and all of that. And being Mahan, who he is, his daughter, Janine Seiler Jones, whom some of you know, wisdom teacher, wisdom school person, has been mostly posting updates on Caring Bridge. But the other day, Mahan posted his reflections. And the two themes he brought out were the symphony of caring that he's been experiencing from the beginning. He said, you know, the friends that gather around, the ambulance people that's, you know, carried me to the emergency room, the 10 hours in the emergency room where I'm watching people moving and all this symphony of action happening, not just caring for me, but caring for all these other people. You know, his son and son-in-law driving him in a rented van home to Asheville, the surgeon, the surgery, and, you know, all this symphony of caring he's been experiencing as recipient and observer. And then his other theme was how Jesus talks about becoming like a child. And he said, I've suddenly become dramatically aware of the illusion of independence and how dependent I now am for the simplest of things, to move around in the bed, to bathe, to use the toilet, people rejoicing just because my bowels moved. He said, I've got a lot of time for the next few weeks to reflect on what it means to become like a child, to embrace the dependency, to embrace that we need each other and we do not ever, ever live by ourselves alone. Jesus invites us to live as branches and forget the illusion that we could ever be our own vine. Live in joyful awareness of our dependency and our connection to the vine, the source of life, the ground of our being, the living water. He calls us to abide there, to learn to simply be there, to trust in the love that holds us and will never let us go. So one more story. Last year, Bill found this story about a boy in Florida who was attacked by an alligator. And his mother managed to rescue him, and he ended up with all these dreadful wounds from the alligator's teeth and jaws on his legs. But he also had wounds on his arms, and some people said, what's the deal with your arms? And he said, oh, that's from my mom, because she would not let me go. That's what God is like, our Heavenly Mother, who will not let us go. As Julian said it, as truly as God is our Father, just as truly God is our Mother, who will not let us go. That fierce motherly love holding us, always with us, no matter what. Thanks be to God.